recorded.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a good recording, man.
Yeah, brother, dig it. Stop it. Right on.
There's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah.
Time now. The Empowerment Hour, the hottest show on Saturday mornings in Jacksonville on Praise 107.9. And now, here's your host on the Empowerment Hour, Dr. Richard Danforth, president of the Jacksonville Urban League, Jarman Leitner, president of First Thursday, and the producer and host, W. Larry Williams, CEO of Anchor Multicultural Communications Company.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Empowerment Hour. This is Larry Williams with Dr. Richard Danforth, president of the Jacksonville Urban League. Back with us, Jarman Leitner, president of First Thursday Jacksonville and Harvest Mental Health Services. Good morning, team. And we got Roger working in the background, always doing a great job. Appreciate that. Happy Saturday, listeners, and we are really blessed to be here for another Saturday morning. Lots going on in Duval and across the country, election-wise, and man, it's just a lot going on. And I guess we need to start with the talking about COVID and its continued effects on our community and in schools and community and et cetera. So first off, good morning, team. What's going on? Happy Saturday, Dr. Danforth and Jarman.
Yeah, good morning. Let me go first. Let me go first because I want to acknowledge Jarman's belated birthday last week. She took off, and I tell you, she's all smiles. I don't know what she got to do. I don't know what she got to do on her birthday, but apparently we need to send a shout out to her husband because she's looking so glowy today, this morning, I tell you.
Well, right, thank you, then. Dr. Danforth.
Welcome back, Jarman.
Thank you. Good to be back. Yes, I had an exciting time celebrating with my family. Shout out to my husband and my children and just a wonderful birthday celebration. So it's good to be back. Great to share news this Saturday with our listeners. Like you said, Larry, there's a lot going on. So we got to start talking about it.
Yes. And let's start with the, again, with the COVID. And guys, we're going to go around the table and talk about these things individually and with our comments. But I was a little bit disturbed to see that Duval County Public Schools reported that they had to close a high school down on the beaches in the beaches area, Fletcher High School, because of a COVID-19 yes. outbreak. And we don't know. And they're doing tracing and so forth now. But it says that students will be learning from home through at least next Monday. If they have an outbreak, they need to probably be considered suspending school longer than that, guys. And they said it was because of an off-campus party that contributed to that. They had, I guess, homecoming, and then, you know, how youngsters already want to celebrate after homecoming. So I guess they went out and had a couple of parties. What's going on with that, guys?
Well, I tell you what is not going on, and that is everybody is not wearing a mask, because I was out at the beach this past weekend riding my bike and having a little lunch break, and with this weather so beautiful and folk out there with bikinis on and no mask, and they just don't seem
that's a tough equation. I'm trying to visualize that.
Are you now?
And no mask. Sounds like my kind of beach.
Yeah, but we need to, they need to understand this thing is serious. I mean, it's getting worse overseas. I mean, as we, you know, France and other countries, they are, I mean, they're I mean, this thing is coming back. Well, it never went away.
Yeah.
And so we've got numbers that are accelerating here in Duval County, right, Jama?
Yes, we do have, it seems like about a total of 50,000 positive cases in Duval, and just reports across the state of increases in spikes, even in some neighboring counties where Harvest Interventions provides services. You know, some of our employees are saying their children are being quarantined because of outbreaks in their classes and in schools. So it's happening across the state. And it is unfortunate that it is happening. But again, it was predicted that this was going to happen. But it also appears that there's not as much focus on it. There is as it was in the beginning back in March when the outbreak.
Well, you know, I think the folks are getting COVID fatigue, as they like to call it.
Let them get that virus. You're talking about fatigue.
Doc, over in, I guess that's Arlington District, the Regency testing site over there, they said they're adjusting to handle the surge in the people wanting to get the COVID rapid test. So that's encouraging and interesting as well. And you know, one of the things that we're finding out about these rapid tests is that they're not accurate. As we would want them to be, and therefore, you know, folks are being advised that if you do have a positive test, to go and get the additional test so that you can make sure that is not a false positive test.
You're talking about you're speaking of tests, and what about are minorities participating in terms of getting with this new vaccine, these trials? They tell me that the black folk are reluctant to be guinea pigs around.
A couple of the trials have been reported to have been placed on pause because of some of the possible side effects. There are some investigations going on still with some of the medicines that are being developed, or the vaccinations that are being developed for COVID.
But I think those are all positive things when they pause these tests.
It's a part of the process,
right? Yeah, and that's why, you know, most scientists have urged the administration to not put a pressure on the scientists to circumvent processes that need to be taken through to produce a safe vaccine. You know,
but wouldn't that be unethical?
Doc, they've been unethical, and that's why black folks don't participate in trials now, because of the unethical things that have been done to black folks across over the years. So, it probably is unethical, but folks that are greedy and money hungry will do anything to pursue their ends to their means.
Even though we've had 217,000 deaths.
Absolutely. And the thing of it is that, you know, you don't want to have a vaccine out there that people think works and it contributes more to the to more deaths.
Well, so, what about the president's vaccine? He took one, right?
No, he took an antigen, not a vaccine.
Now, what's the difference, Larry? What's the difference between?
Well, an antigen is something that person that's early infected can take to decrease the symptoms of the COVID 19, the coronavirus. Okay. So it's not a cure. It's not. It doesn't last. It just helps your respiratory system fight the disease and get you back up and running quicker. And it works for some people. That's why they. Those have been put on hold too, you guys. Several of those have been put on hold, and they're pausing those tests as well because of in their test trials, they're realizing that they have some problems with it. And you know, the last thing you want to do is to have millions of vaccines or antigens out there, and people think they're getting better and don't realize the side effects. So what we're seeing now in these tests are the side effects that are causing the pauses.
All right. Well, we are going to take our first music break. And when we continue, we are going to begin our conversation on voting. I also want to remind our listeners that the email to contact us with any comments or questions, or even small businesses, let us know that you are open. That email address is jacksempowermenthour.com. That's jacksempowermenthour.com. We will be right back. This is the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9.
The new Praise 107.9, the ultimate gospel experience.
This song is for everybody that feel you've been skipped over. God's getting ready to call your name. JP, help me say it. My name on it.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to the Empowerment Hour. It's Larry Williams with Dr. Richard Danford, Jarman Leitner, and we have a special guest this morning in this segment, Tony Hill. Tony is a longtime area activist and organizer, and currently working with the campaign, and I shouldn't say the campaign, working for Congressman, U.S. Congressman Al Lawson's office. So, hey, Tony, welcome to the Empowerment Hour. Welcome back to the Empowerment Hour. We talked with you about a year ago, I think. But anyways, welcome back to the Empowerment Hour. What's going on with the elections and what's going on with you, Tony? What's happening?
Well, first of all, I want to thank you and Don and Dr. Danford for the amazing work that y'all do each Saturday and empowering. I mean, it is fitting that y'all have the title Empowerment, because that's what it is. You're empowering our community. And so I just wanted to stop by and say that we need to power up. This is election is about lift every voice and vote. We're going to begin early voting here in Duval County on October the 19th, which is Monday, and we will run every day till November the 1st. And it'll be from 7 o'clock to 7 p.m. We have some very powerful issues that will affect our daily lives. First of all, I'd like to give the shout out to the raising that minimum wage, getting it up there where people can afford a apartment, afford the health care, afford groceries, afford maybe to take the family out to a movie. So we want to increase that minimum wage. So we're asking people to vote yes on Amendment 2. Yes on Amendment 2. And then we have a controversial one in Amendment 3. And I want to, if I could, Larry, just break that down a little bit. We see that we have some other folks coming on the other side saying support Amendment 3. But Amendment 3 would cripple our community. Give you an example. When Andrew Gillum won the governor's race on the Democratic side, if Amendment 3 had passed, the top two vote getters, because it would have been a joint, it would be no longer a primary with a Democrat and a Republican. It would be a what we call jungle election, what we have sort of in our mayor's race. Everybody run, and if you don't get 51% of the vote, then the top two vote getters will go to the general election. Well, in the case of Andrew would not have made it because the top vote getters were Republican, DeSantis and Putman. He had an opportunity to express those ideas that he had that put him in a position that he was in order to give DeSantis a good run in that race. So that's not a good amendment. We asked some people to vote no on Amendment 3. And then we have some more amendments. Of course, one that is very important to us is asking you to support the half-cent tax so we can finally get some money, desperate money, to our schools here in Duval County that desperately need it. They are bleeding with maintenance costs all over the place, so we need that opportunity. And plus, being with Dr. Danford, promoting businesses in our community, that's going to be another shot in the arm for Minority Contractors Association and other groups. And thank you, Larry, for inviting me to that meeting. I called Larry Leonard, who is president of the Minority Contractors Association, to join us next Thursday in that meeting over at the Urban League. So we look forward to being over there. And we look also forward to them supporting that amendment. And it simply says you are for the half-cent tax. And then, of course, the next one would be the JEA referendum. We're trying now to decentralize all the power in the mayor in terms of voting all the members on the JEA board. Now the city council will have an opportunity to appoint some people or remove people from that JEA board. So those are some of the issues that are going on. And if you have any questions, I'm open to answer.
Okay, just for some clarification, I'll let my team go first, but we're on the show. We're not necessarily endorsing anything, but we are individually supporting, selected amendments and so forth. And I think for the most part, we agree with your comments. Dr. Danford, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, not really any thoughts. I need to, my audience, my folk, to know how I'm voting personally, and I'm voting right. No for Amendment Number 3, because it would, again, make it harder for minority candidates to get it nominated and thus elected. So I am definitely against that. Thank you.
Okay. All right.
I just want to encourage our listeners again to just vote. Take the information that you are presented, do your research, understand what the amendments say, and understand what the candidates are about, and make a decision. Exercise your right to vote. As Tony mentioned off the air, this is celebrating the 120 years of lifting every voice and seeing. So the theme is lift every voice and vote. And the people of color, we need to represent. We need to get out and exercise our right to vote. Your socioeconomic status should not hinder you from going out. If you can get out to the polls, October 19th is the early voting date for Duval County. There were some other dates earlier floating around, but Monday is the actual date for early voting, and that's in Duval County through up until the general election date, which is November the 3rd. So,
do you think we're going to have long lines, Tony?
I believe we are, Doc. If you looking at, for example, I just heard this morning before I got on the call with you, in Georgia, they already have done 1 million people. And North Carolina is closely approaching that. So wow. I think we're probably going to have long lines. I look for some long lines on Monday. But what's interesting, though, on our side of the aisle, for the first time, we have actually outvoted the opposition, i.e. the Republican Party, as it relates to mail-in ballots, which is I think right now it's up to about 1.2 million people have turned their ballots in. And out of that 1.2 million, almost 600,000 are Democrats.
So that's you're talking statewide, Tony?
Yes, statewide. Yes, sir.
Okay. So latest numbers, nearly 2.3 million Floridians have cast their vote by mail so far.
So that's
a huge number this early in the game, and
yes.
And you know, I'm happy if we get 99% you know, voter turnout. You know, the in Georgia, across the country, they're experiencing early voter turnout, and we need to continue that. And if the lines are long, Tony, we need to get out there and make sure folks have some water or something to keep them cool. And because their votes are important, and we need to make sure that everybody has that opportunity to vote if they want to cast their vote in person. So,
and that's a good idea, Lara.
Be mindful of the lines. Just prepare, you know, prepare with water, with snacks. If you have to have your children with you, prepare.
What about if you have to go to the bathroom? What are we advising them to do?
Go to the bathroom before you go.
Absolutely. Go to the bathroom before you go.
Get somebody to hold your place in line. We can make that work.
They can go into the facilities there at the Legends Center or at the library. So wouldn't be a problem. But Doc, preparing water. In some instance, if it goes into the evening, we're probably talking about getting some pizza out there for them.
Okay.
And because the supervisor of election is saying he's looking at a 90% turnout.
Yes. No, but you can't believe. You can't believe everything you hear.
Yeah, right, but if they're predicting 90%,
that sounds like a little fake news to me.
Right.
Yeah, but if they're predicting 90%, you know, it's going to be. We just need to be prepared to go out and vote. You know, if it's 90% or 9%, let's everybody get out and vote.
Okay.
Absolutely. Also, would like y'all to know that your listening audience, that there will be drop boxes there from the supervisor of election office if you don't want to mail your ballot. We're asking everybody, we can't emphasize this enough, everybody, if you received your ballot, please turn it in now. Do not wait to election day or a few days before election day, because if you notice in your regular mail, it's been very slow.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Your ballot,
thanks.
Go ahead on and fill it out. And put it in the mail. But more importantly, just bring it by one of the early voting sites, and there will be a facility there, deposit box there, that you can put it in.
Okay. Hey, Tony, thanks a lot for hopping on. We appreciate it. Our listeners appreciate hearing from you guys all the time. Y'all have a good time, and let's keep this election going. Go out there and help the folks in line. Vote, vote, vote. This is Praise 107.9 FM, the Empowerment Hour. We'll be back after this music selection.
I mean, I know who you are. I mean, I do what you do. If you're in the struggle, I got a message for you.
Welcome back to the Empowerment Hour, everybody. This is Larry Williams, along with Dr. Richard Danford and Jarman Leitner. We're wishing everybody a happy Saturday, and always so good to be here in the palatial studios of the Empowerment Hour. So,
yes.
hey guys, we've been having a great time off the air talking about boating and you know, I'm really excited about, you know, this upcoming election season. I love election seasons. I remember when, you know, early on in my days, I used to volunteer at, you know, the election site just to learn about the process and see how it works. And, you know, the curiosity has always been one of my things that keeps me going. But I like to do the research, and research tells us that this is going to be one of the most heavily heavy voter turnouts in ever. And we want to just continue encouraging people to get out and vote. You know, it doesn't matter whether you're voting Democratic, Republican, or independent. What matters is that we get out and vote, and that you choose and educate yourself on the issues and the candidates of your choice. You know, I was telling our team off the air, we're going to, you know, my votes are for my family, my neighborhood, and my community. And everything on that ballot, from the president down to the half penny sales tax, involves those three things. So get out and vote. The lines are going to probably be long. Be prepared. You know, bring water, snacks, or whatever. What are you guys thinking on voting?
In addition to that, yes, and we also talked about, remember to wear your mask and social yes. distance, and don't allow the COVID-19 outbreaks to discourage you from going to the polls to vote, or even mailing it in. Again, right
Great
now is
points.
The time to be mailing it in, but if you're going to be in line, be prepared again to stay in line for a long time, and to make sure that you're safe health-wise, that you are taking all of those precautions. But like you said, Larry, just whether you're voting for a particular party, that's your choice. You know, whether you vote yes or no for an amendment or a referendum, it is your choice. But just make that choice and make an informed choice. Educate yourself about what's going on and what's going to best benefit your family and the community. So absolutely, exercise your right. Dr. Danford?
What I need to really, really encourage the young people to vote. I know that the presidential candidates are concentrating a lot on senior citizens, you know, talking about Medicare and some other things. But, you know, our young folk, that's our future. They need to start early exercising their right. And I think their responsibility. I think as an American, as a citizen, you have a responsibility to exercise some of the rights that folk in the past gave their lives for, many of them. And so we need to take it serious, not because of who's running. That's, yes, we need to consider that, but we need to, I mean, it's a feel-good thing as well, you know, just to say that you had an opportunity to do something important, that you were in the group that selected whomever as president of our country that's gonna lead us in a serious way, you know, to help deal with this virus. Because I don't think that 216,000 deaths because people not knowing that this thing is very serious and all they have to do is wear a mask and be responsible.
Right. Yes, and you know, when we talk about responsibility and privilege and those types of things, voting is a responsibility and it is a privilege. You know, and there are other countries around the world that don't have that right. And you know, for many years and many years, most black folks didn't have that right to vote. So yeah, use that right. It's yours. As Jarman said, educate yourself on the issues and the candidates, because at the end of the day, it's our responsibility. But we also have to be accountable for our votes. And in the future, you know, the doc talked about the presidential voting. I'm talking about the half penny sales tax. That's going to affect our community. That's going to affect our children and grandchildren in Duval County for years to come. So, yes. You know, that public school education is possibly the only education that they'll get. They don't have the resources to go to this private schools and so forth. So this is very important and it's going to, contribute to our community and our children's lives for a long time. So, you know, the vote is important. And as we've talked, vote your conscience, vote for your family, vote for your community, and vote for your neighborhood. And if everyone does that, I think we're going to be okay on November 4th.
Yeah, and I think
November 3rd.
November 4th is when the election will be over.
Oh, okay. Okay, it's when it's over. Okay, I thought you were saying the general election day. Okay, go ahead, no. Dr. Denver.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, I was going to shift the conversation from the voting and just talk a little bit, go back to a little bit about the effects of what we're continuing to see with COVID-19, and we're hoping not to see any effects in the turnout for voting, but we see that it's being reported that there's still an increase in job losses for Americans just nationally, and women have been reported to be hit the hardest when it comes to the loss of income during the coronavirus. So just a shout out to the mothers and the wives and the women who have had to make some tough choices and who have had to kind of bear the brunt of the job losses as it's being reported due to the coronavirus, not just because the jobs that maybe they were holding were predominantly women dominated fields, but also just having to make those tough choices of taking care of their parents and also taking care of, you know, children because, you know, schools being closed and daycares and just number one concern for the safety of their families. So a lot of women have been affected. But stay encouraged during this time. We hope to see some turnarounds in it. And we know that it has definitely made some changes in families, which has led to some of that mental health increase that we've seen as well. So all of it kind of is a domino effect. You know, it all ties together. So we have support as a community.
Yeah. And the continuation on COVID, the big game, the Florida LSU
yes,
game that was scheduled for Gainesville this coming Saturday has been postponed to sometime in December because of the COVID outbreak on the team. It's sad that so many of these young people, young men, lives and things are being, impacted by this. And I know that everybody wants to get out and show that they can play in the NFL and do all these types of things. But, you see most of the Ivy League schools have not gone back to sports, and sometimes I believe.
Maybe that's because education is their priority and not sports.
That's my point, Doc. Sometimes we need to take, the 30,000 foot view instead of the 30 foot view and look at what's going on in the future. There's a reason that these Ivy League schools aren't playing because of the unknowns of the virus and its impact on their young people's lives in the future.
Absolutely.
Well, it's different in the South.
Absolutely. And again, we just found that out, didn't we? With the governor asking, the athletic director asking the governor for a full stadium for the Saturday's event that was going to take place. Thank God that it didn't occur. So you can you imagine 100,000 people in a stadium yelling and screaming and COVID's everywhere. I can see the words now, COVID, 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 every time they yell. Hey, this is Praise 107.9 FM.
And the Gators losing.
We'll be back after this music.
The new Praise 107.9, the ultimate gospel experience. The ultimate gospel experience.
Hey, changes. Glory to glory, and from faith to faith, I'm moving on. I'm moving on. I'm moving on. I'm getting older, so I'll keep it straight. It hurts to let go, but it hurts more to stay. I'm moving on. I'm moving on. Hey, I'm moving on. Hey, 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 hey. I know my rear view can't compare. Your failures, and forgive yourself. I'm moving on.
I'm moving on.
Hey,
I'm moving on.
Hey,
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 hey.
Welcome back to the Empowerment Hour, everybody. This is Larry Williams with Dr. Richard Danford, Jarman Leitner, and our education contributor every Saturday morning is Duval County Public School member, board member, Darrell Willie. Darrell Willie, welcome back to the Empowerment Hour.
As always, empowered to be here.
Absolutely. Darrell, we got some exciting things going on, but before we get to the good stuff, though, yep. We need to talk about the Fletcher High School closing and what's going on there. What's happening?
Yeah, so we doing our normal contact tracing and found there was a spike in cases came up. So at the end of it, about 32 students and staff tested positive. So when you get up around those ranges, both the Department of Health and both our just internal system say you got to start to close some things off. So they decided to close school through the remainder of last week, and then it'll be closed probably a couple of days into this week, and then they'll notify students and staff about when they can report back as they're doing the contact tracing. Because what's hard about it is when you're doing the contact tracing now and you have the weekend, it just makes it a little bit more difficult. So, But
Darrell, the outbreak was caught through the testing process.
Yeah, that's where you started to catch the initial test, but then upon contact tracing, found out it was because folks were gathering outside of school without masks on. And a lot of the, you know, you have high schoolers who are congregating with each other. One person has it outside of school where there's no regulations on masks or spacing or any of that. And now all of a sudden you have a sort of a super spreader sort of situation because they're all together. So, and that's one thing we keep saying every time I'm on the show, it's not just what happens on the inside of schools. It's what's happened when you go home and on the weekends, because that's where you get let your guard down. In schools, you got to mask up, you got to distance, you got to do all that. And people are telling you, you need to, but when you're at home and when you're just hanging with your friends, that doesn't, it's not the same. So,
we want to encourage all of these. We want to encourage all these parents and students, you know, it's not just enough to be compliant in school. You know, you need to take it home. You need to exercise those same things in the community. It's very important, you know, for your grandparents and your mothers and fathers and other people that might be infected that won't survive. So please do masking and social distancing and washing your hands and anything else. And most importantly, stay away from these parties. I mean, you got plenty of time to party. I know it seems like this is the last.
Come on, Larry. You used to party, man, when you
were. Yeah, but I didn't have coronavirus to deal with.
You don't have it now. You can't party. So
look, I didn't have corona to deal with. If corona was there, I wouldn't have partied.
Well, it just makes me, Daryl, it just kind of makes me think about how you know, you and I both are former teachers in the classroom. Like, we still educate, of course, but in the classroom, and how we think about when we talk to parents about behaviors, you know, and what's going on and the structure that we have in the classroom. Well, if you partner with us to do that at home, we're going to see an increase in the positive behaviors that we want to see, and a decrease in those negative behaviors. So we just kind of have to look at the virus the same way. Parents, partner with the teachers, what's going on in the schools, so that we can keep this spread down.
Yes. This thing is still real. That's what I think people, whenever we start to open up more, you start to see football games and other things be opened up, and you start to kind of say, oh, it must be okay. But if you look at the numbers, those numbers haven't really dropped the way that you would want them to. And there's still people who, unfortunately, are not no longer here with us because of this thing. So we got to do all we can. And I'm glad we caught it when we did. And hopefully we won't see any more spread there. But that's what we have in place as a district to kind of keep people safe is. And we have platforms to move all those students into virtual learning. So we have things set up. It's just unfortunate that it happened. And hopefully we won't see that. And this will be an example for folks to say, let's take this serious.
Yeah, absolutely. And that being said, Daryl, we want to talk about you and the board and the district over there have come up with a really unique deal for this half penny sales tax and how it can benefit Duval County, Duval County as a whole. And that's one of the reasons and the main reason that we want to make sure that this passes is because of all the things that it does for our the future of our children in public schools and for our communities across the economic basis. Tell us a little bit about what's coming up next Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, we want our city to be healthy educationally, but also financially. And the way that we do that is we pour and invest in our community. And this half penny, if people don't realize it, it's going to pour hundreds of millions of dollars into our county, specifically into the northwest side of town. And we want to be able to make sure that folks are set up to take advantage of that. And we're having a session on this Thursday coming up on the 22nd at 5 p.m. virtual. So log on from wherever you are, any and everyone. If you have interest in partnering, working, doing business with the district, this is your opportunity to hear how to do that, because this is how you build sustainability within a community. You give folks an opportunity to take advantage of things like this half a penny sales tax. So I'm excited to be partnering with the Urban League and some other community nonprofits and our Office of Economic Opportunity within our district, because they do a lot to bring in minority owned businesses into contracts. So if you're listening to this and you are a contractor, somebody who wants to get involved, somebody who has a business that you think aligns with the district, come here how to get involved. And because we already have a lot of folks who are involved, but we need more. So if you're hearing me right now, come in and listen on Thursday at 5 p.m. and you'll hear more about the links, and you'll see it on Facebook, on the Urban League, and my personal Facebook coming up really soon.
Okay, that's great news, and Dr. Danford and Daryl, you know, thanks for starting this process, and it's not an Urban League deal, and it's not a DCPS deal. It's a community deal. We want everybody in the community at this virtual meeting, and you'll be able to see the information on the Jacksonville Urban League's website early next week, if not this weekend. But I'm sure you'll be seeing it on other places. We're going to get it into the media. So we want everybody that has a business, a small business that wants to have an opportunity to participate with the Duval County Public Schools economic system to come and familiarize yourself with the process. We'll probably have some people that are currently doing business with Duval DCPS, and they can hopefully answer questions. If not, the DCPS team will be there to answer questions. We need to be prepared for helping build these new schools or renovate the schools as they need to. And it's going to be a long process, but I think Daryl stated properly, hey, this is an opportunity for sustainability of economics in our community like none that we've seen before.
Yeah,
I mean, we're talking right. 15 years. We're talking 15 years that this tax is going to be there. So if you have a company and you think about work for the next 15 years, that's a good amount of time. So
yes.
it's definitely something. But we also got to vote for it, because if we don't vote
right.
for the past, right. then we're just talking it to the wind. So
we also, absolutely vote too. Yes. And also we need to quickly say that the Jacksonville Small and Emerging Business Program at the city, we need to take a look at it and see if that's going to be sufficient in
Absolutely.
Terms of going forward, because we've had some issues with that particular program, so we need to work through some of those.
If you have any questions about the open community meeting that is taking place this upcoming Thursday, October 22nd, it's a virtual meeting at 5 p.m. You can call the Jacksonville Urban League at 904-723-4007 or visit jacksul.org. jacksul.org.
Hopefully we'll be back again next Saturday. Not hopefully, if the creek doesn't rise, we know we'll be here and again talking to our community about things that are relevant to us, including voting again, because November 3rd, keep that in mind. Next Monday, keep that in mind. Early voting starts. So let's get out, cast votes, and we'll be back next Saturday morning, 8 a.m. on the Empowerment Hour. Thank you, Daryl, Dr. Danford, Jarman, and Roger.
Peace.
Have a great weekend.